companies. Most sectors were higher, except for banks. In fact, Microsoft and Facebook each rose 1% of their value in early trading. The Standard & Poor's 500 index rose 16 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Am I on yet? Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio. I'm just watching my two bobs in here. It was the bob dance. And I'm not sure that that's pretty, but if it was the bob dance going on here, or they were trying to run around and get things done on the boards. 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on the 12th of July. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Got a big show today. We got George Runner, Board of Equalization, is going to be calling at 7:15 with big changes. I don't know if you knew this, but the governor took over the Board of Equalization. It's an elected seat for the Board of Equalization. 5 different members, and they're the people you go to for problems with taxes and all these other things. Plus, they make some rulings. Well, governor took that over. And built a new infrastructure.
Power.
And so we're going to talk about that. And then we have David Kehoe and Larry Lees. Was that on the commercial yesterday?
Yes.
I heard another one, though. Maybe it just popped in. You know, it was like, why you love being here? What's the weather look like today? Oh, look, it's the temperature is going up.
We've got 70 degrees outside right now in Redding. High today should be right around the 100-degree mark, depending on who you ask. Calm winds 5 to 8 miles an hour. Mostly clear tonight. Low right around 70. Sunny and hot tomorrow, a couple of degrees cooler. But as we head into the weekend, temperatures will be on the rise. Shasta Lake remains about 16 feet from the top. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
A better-known business than Anderson that's run by Chuck and Judy Kenny won awards for hiring veterans. And, you know, what a great, great, great company. Discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. Okay, things are happening. Work's beginning on the Mercy Center. That's right down on the river. Great. And there's also plans, of course, for the developing other areas just adjacent to that. And it's going to be a housing community for seniors. And plus some other things that are happening. All these things happen. We're going to have the developers of that on the show here in a little while. But it's begun. You know what? I think the restitution, not the reconstruction of Redding is beginning. And you know what? People are not waiting anymore for the city. They're just saying, you know what? We're just going to do it. Now, Barry Tippin, who's been with the city for 12 years or 13 years, has put together a committee to come up with a plan, a 6-month plan and 12-month plan. I would kind of thought that he would have seen the things that were going wrong after the last 13 years. But you know what? It's a move forward, another committee. But he has got different people on this committee. And I know a lot of these people, and I have nothing but great things to say about them. Lori Goine is a CPA, a local CPA. Her name doesn't sound familiar to you because she doesn't get out there and get out in politics and all that. But if you were in the Sroptimus Club, the Women's Fund, you'd know her name. And I have nothing but utmost confidence. This is a woman that is very, very bright and knows numbers. And if anybody can talk about the problems facing the city money-wise, it's going to be her. Dr. Doug McConnell. Been on our show several times. You all know Dr. Doug McConnell, heart surgeon, semi-retired. He still goes in there and cracks a chest now and then. But he's on this committee. And he's a – gosh, you know what? He's probably one of the most intelligent guys I have ever met. You have a subject – Doug McConnell can talk about it. And I mean, not superficially like we do in radio, but I mean, he just gets right into it. So that's good. I think he is a great choice. And then you have Ed Roman. Ed's the, you know, the restaurateur and the one that started the Reading Crime Watch for businesses. Another one, Matt Mosley. Matt Mosley, who has led the fight on sex trafficking in right here in Reading in the North State. Who else we have here? Oh, Ryan Denham, Denham Motors. Mike Dahl used to be the now Ryan and Mike. They're kind of like they've been around. They've been, you know, they get involved in politics. You know, both of them, in fact, were involved in, I believe, the Brent Weaver campaign. So, but they've been around, and you need some experience from before. Now, there's a lot of others. I just haven't mentioned all their names. But it's a step forward, but we'll see. We'll see what the committee comes up with. I'll tell you what, he's got the people on there that can come up with the ideas if Barry can harness all this horsepower and move it forward. So, but it's a step forward. It's a first positive step forward, I'm saying. And when people tell me, we got the bike patrol, blah, 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 all those things are Poletti started. Now, the next step is that they're going to be talking about bringing Pete Hansen back. And if they don't have Pete Hansen back, that means that one of the captains has to do some extra work and take charge of the department for a few months. But for $87 an hour, or $89 an hour, it seems like we could hire two community service officers that would take the heat off some of the officers on the beat, so allow them to do more stuff on the street, which then allows the acting chief to do his thing. Right? Oh, but what are you going to do with the, you know, after, if we can afford the $89 for that, we should be able to afford $89 for the service officer. That's when they're $79 now. That's what I'm thinking. But what do I know? I've just been watching this for 10 years. Okay. What else? Sad news, Bob.
Yes.
Sad news.
Yes.
Kids Unlimited is pulling down the curtain after this year.
Yeah. Dawn
Hess.
Ready to retire.
She is wants to spend time with her grandchildren, and she's been. I tell you what, she is the driving force behind this. Dawn Hess is just, you know, and there's been so many great people and kids that have come out of this, and it's not for entertainment. It's to build confidence and to be able to speak publicly and to be able to express yourself. How hard is that for kids? And she gave them away for 30 years.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if she did it for the whole 30 years, but. Probably a
more
lot of
more than one generation.
More than one generation in there. So our hats are off to Dawn Hess. And maybe, you know what, we'll have Dawn on here. And I'm sure that when we get toward the end of summer, we'll be having the Kids Unlimited thing again. Money. It all comes down to money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So today, hopefully the Board of Equalization guy remembers. George Runner. Yeah. He's supposed to be calling in.
And, so how are you calling this? Do you think this is the Democrats consolidating power? Because if you control the taxes, you have even more control over the purse strings.
Of course it is. See, now he's named the coastal, you know, he's got the Coastal Commission. He's got the Fish and Game Department, you know, not department, but commission. Now he's taking the Board of Equalization away. Now here's my question. I'm going to ask George this. Is George, since they've taken away two-thirds of what you all do, will you all get a two-thirds pay cut? You know, this is kind of reminds me of, you know, how we have CSAC and BMI and ASCAP. There's another one coming in. Every month, in case you all don't know this, every month we get a bill from these three different agencies that represent artists. And because Bob plays this great bump music, even though it's not the whole song, just a piece of a song, and they've got a list of artists that, you know, you can't go through all them. There's so many that we just pay their high rates. It went up 300% like 4 years ago. To pay them every month. Now we've got a fourth one coming in. And this guy comes in and he's taken all the Beatle records. He's taken Journey. He's taken, Eagles and Journey plus others. And I call BMI up and say, okay, so, I can expect a cut in your money I have to pay you because you've just lost a lot of those artists that we probably play. No. I'm sorry, what? No. No, we're good. You have to pay the same amount, but it's for less art. I mean, but you don't have those artists anymore. You should reduce your prices because now I'm going to have to pay this other guy. And I tell you what, it's not an insignificant sum, but it's not like people that play music all the time. They really get hammered on it. So, however, they're not going to reduce their prices, even though they have less artists to pick from. Is that fair? No,
they
of
have
course
you,
not.
They have you by the short.
They do. There's nothing you can do about it. And if you play there, if you say, I'm not going to play you. Okay, I'm not going to play your artist. Well, you know what? If you play one artist and they find out about it, they can sue you. They can tell you cease and desist from playing that artist. Okay, fine. Then you play another one. Okay, that's one of ours too. Okay, I won't play them again. So it gets down to we're going to have the only way around this, really, the only way around this is to play music that's out there in the public, you know, like
– or what's called PodSafe.
Yeah, something like that.
You just, royalty-free music.
Royalty-free music. And then I can save $400 a month just like that, $6,000.
Which is what we use our commercials for. When somebody comes in and wants to cut a commercial and says, I want to have a peaceful, easy feeling as a soundtrack. No, you're not selling your product anymore. You're triggering a memory for a song which does not sell your product.
Right.
So we have to talk clients out of that.
And so we find things. But we find things to play. It's always
pretty
good.
Well, we do all our commercials are royalty.
But PC, people don't realize that, is that when we play that bump music, that every one of them, and because we have no idea which one of the companies it falls under, because try to get the list of their clients. It is. It's terrible. And we've actually got somebody we pay money to represent us. And when I said, wait a minute, I just got a 300% raise on my fees here. What in the hell are you doing for me? Well, yeah, blah, 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 blah. If you don't, we don't, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then you've got them fighting among themselves and the company that represents you. So they're all, wait a minute, am I whinging this morning or what? Okay. I'll knock that off. I'm just kind of waiting to see if George Runner calls in. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Discover the new Kia at Redding Kia for the highest-ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality.
That's Kia Cadenza, Forte, Niro, Sorento, and Soul.
Kia has received more J.D. Power initial quality awards than any other brand. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Redding Kia, featuring complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every vehicle sold and the best warranty in the USA.
Head into Redding Kia today and get ready to save a lot of money on Redding Kia's award-winning lineup. There's no better time than right now to take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy.
Take a look around the next time you pull into a parking lot or community event like the Redding Kia-sponsored Mosquito Serenade. You'll see Kias everywhere. It's Redding Kia's commitment to customer service and our community that's the Redding Kia difference.
Redding Kia. See the brand new dealership at 418 East Cypress Avenue. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the new YouTube channel.
RedingKia.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
And now back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. I am just a happy boy. I got to whinge about something that nobody really cares about.
Another 72 cents sent off to the licensing right there. Boom. Out of your pocket.
Here you go. Every time I play it, I go, oh, my God. You know. So I should, you know, like I said, maybe I should just go to, Linda Ring. We'll play Linda songs.
So are the licensing companies run by Democrats? Because every time you turn around, they got a hand in your pocket.
My gosh, you know, they're probably
what a concept.
They're capitalist. They're capitalist. They're, you know what? They're out of Hollywood, so they're capitalist Democrats.
Yeah.
So
oh God.
There. Hey, you went to see America last night.
I did.
How was
I
that?
It was a great show, and talk about a time machine. I was back in my Valiant, shoving the 8-track into the Muntz Craig player slung under the dash.
Oh my God!
Listening to it out of crappy 6x9 speakers.
Was this the horse with no name?
Yeah, Ventura Highway, and they did a really, really good show. Now the bass player, whose name I can't call up at the moment, it was one of those weird, only in the music business things, and having been married to Linda, you know how these connections work. One of our friend's high school friend is the wife of the bass player. So we ended up not only with tickets, but we had the opportunity to go backstage and meet the two surviving members of the band. They started out as high school buddies in 1967, in England. They were Americans living in England because they were the offspring of service members. And they formed a band called America, just as the Beatles and the Stones and all that were really getting up to stride. And they put out a big string of hits in the '70s and continue. They have been performing, get this. You want to talk about a career? For 46 years, they have done an average of 100 gigs a year.
46 years.
Yeah, for 46
wow.
years. Now, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, and a couple of thousand per gig, that adds up.
Yeah. But
not a couple of thousand either.
After they finish up with a couple of stops here, they're off to Australia. They are still going strong after all this time doing the same thing.
They have all the same members.
The two surviving members.
Two surviving.
Yeah, there
members.
Were three. Yep. There were three members of the band.
Okay.
They've added a new bass player. They had a keyboardist and a drummer. Great. It was a great show.
That's super. Hey, it appears that David Letterman is back in the news. He really hates Trump. He said he couldn't even work at the Gap. You know, David Letterman, I'm not sure. You know, I still don't understand why it becomes news if a media personality says something. Why doesn't it say Carl Bott thinks the Democrats need to get their stuff together? In this, you know, it's not front page. How come? I mean, who is David Letterman? He doesn't even have a job anymore. He's retired. He's making what? Comments?
Yeah.
So why is he in that?
I don't know. Why does everybody go gaga over every utterance out of George Clooney's food hole?
I'm not sure. You know, he just sold his portion. He and the three of his buddies started a tequila company just kind of as a, you know, something to invest money in, and they just sold it for something like $4 billion.
But God forbid anybody else make a profit.
I love it. Okay. Hey, George Runner, our representative on the Board of Equalization, is on the line. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good.
You're calling to tell us what the governor did to the Board of Equalization.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a crazy deal that the governor and legislature did last month. I think a true attack on taxpayer rights and opportunities. Just to give you a little background, we've talked about it before, but California was unique in that it had this only directly elected tax board, so that individuals who had a tax dispute, rather than kind of handling it through a series of bureaucrats and finally losing to a state on an appeal, had this elected board of peers that you could appear before and tell your story, and a decision would be made about whether or not whether you owed the tax or whether it needed to be changed, needed to be adjusted. And this tax could be your sales tax, if you're a business, could be your income tax if you're an individual, could be a series of other special taxes if you're, in business too. So, unfortunately, in a way that was really, I think, just a takeover of the control of the tax system, the governor sponsored a piece of legislation that stripped the Board of Equalization of that role. So,
why did he do this?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, governors have always wanted to control this particular aspect. For last, you know, you go back through history, the board was established in the late 1800s by a constitutional amendment voted on by the people to deal with tax disputes. Particularly on property tax. And so that's how it established. And through the years, the legislature had given it more and more responsibility. And governors have always basically wanted to control that, because that way they control revenue, that's coming in the state. And so, and have attempted to do that a few number of times. And it's never happened. It's never always failed. Legislature's always stop the governors from doing that. The unique issue that we're happening right now is, unfortunately, we had a couple of board members who didn't make some very good decisions about how they were using some staff and whether or not they were using it correctly. And as a result of
they
that,
were abusing their, they were abusing their were they abusing their positions?
They were abusing some of the staff, right, in terms of kind of a personal use that shouldn't have been done. As a result of that,
did they resign?
No, they did resign. But as a result of that, the legislature got involved. There was an audit done, and it basically made the board vulnerable. And as a result, there was an opportunity, and that opportunity was used, and the legislation was passed. Rather than, you know, correct the situation, rather than, you know, deal with the individuals that were dealing with the problem. It was just, you know, it was basically a crisis that was used to the advantage of the governor and ultimately then stripped the taxpayers of this particular issue. None of the issues were abusive to taxpayers in the sense that they were, you know, taking advantage of a particular taxpayer, or it had nothing to do with, you know, absconding with some money somewhere along the line. It was just inappropriate assignment of some staff.
Well, they were using I have to disagree. They were using staff that's being paid by my money for their own personal
issues.
Well, right.
It was in that sense. But I'm talking about in terms of being able to, you know, taking large amounts of money or giving large favors to somebody or in that sense. No, it was inappropriate use of staff, which is wrong. And as a result of that, that was used. But in the bigger picture, the larger problem that I think will affect taxpayers is this now, the new system, what happens is when you have a tax appeal, rather than going to your, elected official who, you know, you don't have to hire an attorney, you could just come tell your story. Now you're going to go to basically a panel of three, administrative law judges, which are basically just appointments, not even appointments, they're employees of the state of California, and they'll make your decision. So when you have a tax dispute about whether or not you owe the state of California, you're going to go to state employees, and they're going to decide whether you owe the money or not.
Okay. Hey, we're with George Runner. He's the representative for the Northern California region on the Board of Equalization. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about the impact on this. Right now, they've taken away the right of the taxpayer to see the Board of Equalization, and they have to appear in front of state employees if they have a problem. And that right there kind of is, you know, I mean, I'm sure that they're honest people, but again, you get into this, when you get into political appointees or people that are pushing people for a specific job like that is, you know, what kind of answers are you going to get on the other side? This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Home Helpers, which is a very positive influence on the community, the best in-home health care in Redding or Northern California that you're going to find, whether it's short-term or long-term. You go to Sharon Clark and Home Helpers. Give her a call at 226-8350. Home Helpers. We'll be right back with George Runner, Board of Equalization.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie-cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today, and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
This Friday and Saturday, celebrate 30 years of Kids Unlimited with songs, performances, and special guest performers from the past 30 years. Support the talent of our local youth. Showtimes are this Friday, 7 p.m., and Saturday, 2 and 7 p.m. McLaughlin Auditorium, located at Sequoia Middle School on Sequoia Street. Purchase your tickets Monday through Friday at Sequoia Middle School, room 101. Call 945-9495 or at KUIA.org.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. Whip it. Whip it good. What kind of song is that? Never mind. Devo. 27 minutes before the hour, 8 o'clock, 70 degrees. I think it's getting up a little bit warmer than that. It's going up to 103 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793 over there. And this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. In fact, Ted Leidy has got the largest, what is that sound? I'm hearing a clicking.
Oh, I'm sorry, George. I'll be right back there. I'm just hearing the sound, and I didn't. I forgot that the mic is open right now. Okay, I was hearing this click, click, and I'm going, and I'm looking around the room here because anyway. Well, let's just go back to George Runner. We'll get
just
back to Northern Firearms.
Out.
Yeah, just George is hanging out with us today. George Runner is our representative in the Board of Equalization. And from what he just told us was that the governor and the legislature just kind of slashed the Board of Equalization and took away your right to talk to your elected representative and put you in front of three state employees. Now, how it also slashed the numbers of people on the Board of Equalization, too, didn't it?
Well, at least the employees that are kind, they created two new tax agencies, and then also kept the board for another reason we could talk about. But yeah, they actually created two new agencies. One is to collect the tax, and the other is to appeal to. So the whole process is going to cost taxpayers more money. So they created two new agencies, and as a result of that, you know, it's going to cost more money to operate. You know, the other issue that they did is they took away my ability to assist taxpayers. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. We have, you know, sometimes, believe it or not, state tax collectors make mistakes. And as a result, I've had people call my office because their business account got drained with a levy. And they call us and they say, "Hey, I'm having this discussion with the state board of equalization." And one day they came in and they took all my money out of my account. Now I have a payroll to do and I don't have any money. So we would step in, talk to them, see what happened. Sometimes it was a mistake. Sometimes something needed to be worked out. But either way, we could help fix it. Sometimes people call us because they're just confused about a tax system that's very confusing. And as a result of that, we can step in, we help them. My office dealt with over 4,000 of these different issues last year. People calling up me as their representative, assisting them with a tax issue. They took that away from us too. We no longer have the ability to assist taxpayers, in that way.
Let me give a practical example of that.
Right.
I was trying to get a hold of one of the tax entities in the state of California. Every time I'd call, I got a computer that would talk to me and say, "Go to this," and it never answered my question, and it kept just sending me in circles. I could not find a number, so I called your office, and she told me, "Well, since this has happened, they don't always answer our phone calls." And I went, "Oh," but she persevered and I got a phone call back from the people so I could get something, you know, so I was getting some things. I had a question. That's all it was a question, but it was a big question for me. But your lady there, she was the only way I could have gotten in to talk to a person. And there's something wrong there. I'm just one of millions. I'm sure they have a question to our, you know, for the California tax agency there, and it says call these numbers. Well, every one of them is a computer you're talking to, and you know, and it sends you in different directions. And not one time does it say you can talk to a person.
And we don't have just a few of those. Like I said, last year we had over 4,000 that my office dealt with. So you know, it's those kind of issues that I think are stripping taxpayers of their ability to successfully navigate a very confusing tax system.
Well, that's what they want. That's what
just
they want.
Just give us the money.
That's it. Just give us the money and shut up. Just give us the money and shut up.
They hope taxpayers will just give up and write the check.
Well, that's exactly what they want. Anyway, George, how many?
Yeah, so that's the frustrating part of this. And like I said, I know we had talked about the fact is that there was some behavior and choices by a couple of board members that created an issue and an opportunity. But, you know, as I reminded them, you know, elected officials are going to make some mistakes sometimes, and so they should get elected next time. It was interesting because as I was talking to the legislature, you know, they were going through this and talking about the behavior. Again, you know, my office wasn't involved. I wasn't involved with any of the issues that came up. But I reminded them as they were trying to be pretty, pretty judgmental about the behavior of a couple of board members who made some bad choices on some issues, that they themselves had actually two senators who are now serving in state prison under with felonies. Nobody decided to do away with the state senate because of that.
Yeah, too bad. We should have.
Well, you never know what the alternative may be.
Okay.
The governor would probably like to do away with that, too. So it's, you know.
Well, you know, it's nice being king. Hey, George, okay, so the Board of Equalization used to have over 2,000 employees. Is that right?
We have 4,500.
Okay, so you had 4,500. How many of them now work for the Board of Equalization?
Right now, the Board of Equalization has 200. And the reason we have 200 employees is because under the state constitution, the board, and that would be what I am a part of now, is responsible for a segment of state assessments. And this goes back to the original purpose of the board. The original purpose of the board was to do a state to do property assessments on utilities, on entities that's use goes across from one state, one county to another. Railroads it started with. So what they were finding is that one county was jacking up the value of property and another county wasn't. So they created this initiative which said, we're going to let the board equalize the county tax assessments. And so that's how it was created. We still do that under the state constitution. We do it for railroads. We do it for utilities, pipelines. Now we do it for cable, all kinds of things. So that's the purpose that we still have. The legislature couldn't take that away because it requires a constitutional amendment to change that. So that's what they did. They basically took all of the other stuff away that we deal with, you know, basically millions of taxpayers, and just left this one thing behind.
Did it come with a cut in pay?
No, it did not do that. Actually, in California, pay is not the legislature nor the governor adjust pay. That's done by the state compensation committee. The voters put that in place a number of years ago.
Well, you're not running again, right? I mean, you're kind
of... No,
you're
at the end of my term.
You're at the end of your term, right.
I mean, I've been serving there for about 6.5 years. I'm at the end of my term. And it's, you know, we've had a great time working with taxpayers. One of the joys I got to say every day is my job is great because we help taxpayers every day. We get to help somebody through a problem, even if they owe the money. Even a guy has a business and he owes the money, we can help him set up a plan to help him successfully pay the money and then still stay in business.
Okay, so, you know, here's my problem with the whole thing. You know, I know what a good job y'all did, but now they've taken that away. So now we've got five members of the Board of Equalization, two of which caused all this problem, and they're still collecting their 100-something thousand a year. And then now we're going to have another election to elect new members to the Board of Equalization that do like 10% of what you do. For the same amount of money.
Yeah,
so that means, there's something wrong there.
Well, the reality is that's how, unfortunately, how you know, abusive government can be when it tries to, you know, tries to manipulate and fix something. In terms of the total cost, the real challenge is going to be the fact that they continue to have this new agency that they continue to pay millions of dollars to.
Yeah, I bet there's new people,
they'll have
too.
To address what they do with the board, but that's going to have to, the reality is that's going to take a constitutional amendment. That's just unfortunately the way it's structured.
You know what?
So,
well, you know what?
Now,
how I really feel about this, right?
The other thing that's crazy is in the midst of this, one of the primary issues we do is educating taxpayers. We do hundreds of seminars a year educating taxpayers. The best way to keep a taxpayer in compliance and in the business is to teach them in the beginning how their tax systems work. As a result of this, I had tax seminars scheduled in three different places this month. Where we would actually educate hundreds of taxpayers, answer their questions. We would be there, the BOE would be there, we'd bring in the FTB, the state income tax, we'd bring in the IRS, we'd bring in EDD to deal with employment issues, and we would have a day or a half day seminar. The new agency canceled all of them. As a result of this, you know, they don't know how to do it, they didn't know what they're for, so they just canceled them. And as a result of that, they're just, like I said, hundreds of taxpayers who would have been educated this month that aren't being educated.
Well, that really sucks. But then again, this is California, and the government's out there to make it suck.
So. Well, unfortunately, I think it's pretty dramatic. I think it's pretty bad for taxpayers. But in the scheme of all of it, unfortunately, this legislature, this governor have done far more damage to California than just that.
Well, George, what's going to happen? I got like a minute left here. What are you going to do after after, what is it, 2018?
You know, the good news for me is I've had about 25 years of elected office between my local office and between my legislature. And I'm one of those guys that I do this because I like to serve people. And, you know, I can ride off into the sunset. So I'm glad for the time I've served, but it's time for me to just kind of go do other things, and other people will be able to do and represent their people. I've kind of come to the end of my elected career, and unfortunately, I hate to see it end in this way. When we could still continue to do good things for taxpayers in my last 18 months.
You know, do you ever think of offering them a sacrifice of one of the bad guys? You know, just leave them there on their table.
you know. Again, we just,
are we past that?
I just wish we had a system that really honored people who work hard, give them a break, and let them successfully do their business without a bunch of new taxes and regulations.
And I'll tell you why they're not going to do that, because we're the ones that pay the taxes. They've got so many, over 50% of the state don't pay taxes. Is that correct?
We have almost as many takers as we have givers, and
there you go.
As a result of that, it's a system that I think will break down eventually, and I hope people then will understand that their best interest was not protected.
Okay, all right. Our guest has been George Runner, who is the outgoing our representative up here in Northern California on the Board of Equalization. As you just heard, they went from a 4,000 person agency to 200. And the state has taken over most of their duties. They've gone back to their constitutional job that was given to them, is to equalize the taxes across the state. And it's grown over the years. So now the state, if you need to talk to somebody about you're having a problem with taxes, instead of talking to your elected representative, you talk to a nameless, faceless judge that has been appointed to this job or is a member of the state already. And he's the one or she's the one you'll be talking to. Not saying it won't be fair. It's just going to be – you can't really kind of just reach out and call George and say, George, I've got a problem here. Because George is good at that. Okay. Thanks a lot, George.
Hey, Carl, thank you. Thanks for talking.
You bet. All right, buddy. All right. Hey, this portion of the show, and I'll get it out this time, is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Lighty's got the largest – privately owned firearms instruction company in the state. The only ones that teach more is the NRA. So if you're looking for very complete classes on concealed carry, basic pistol, defensive handgun, advanced pistol, tactical rifle, these and many other classes that are offered by Northern Firearms Instruction. Give them a call at 530-999-1822 or check out readingccw.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Like, okay, so totally. There's a gnarly party going down at Wind River Resort and Casino, okay? Dress your 80s best and join us in a rad atmosphere Thursday, July 13th from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. as the 21 Pit turns up the volume and transforms into the totally 80s party pit. Dude, it's radical. Featuring $1 select blackjack tables, 80s songs, hot seat drawings, food, drink specials, and friendly dealers. No one else in town offers this. The totally 80s party pit. Details, log on to windriver.com. Dude, we'll see you there. It's better at the river.
Are you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Trivia is better at the river.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Have you ever wondered why absolute God-given moral values are so important?
Morals that come from God cannot be changed by the whim of man, regardless of social pressures. On the contrary, man-created morals have no absolute standard and are constantly in the process of a downward change and decay. If we want to save this country and our families from decaying from the inside out, we must return to and follow the principles God has established. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Reading's Electric Utility. Windows are the number one source of heat gain in your home. Installing solar screens, window treatments, or new low-E windows significantly reduces heat gain and reduces your summer air conditioning cost, putting money back in your pocket. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Another 72 cents there, Carl.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Otherwise, you cry.
No, you know, I'm just used to it. It's like getting hit in the face every week. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. What we're laughing about. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on sabbatical this morning. It's 74 degrees. It's going to go up to 103 today. It's going to be hot this whole weekend. I think it goes up to, 107 on Saturday?
Opinions vary.
But it's going to be over 100. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans at Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. No, we're just – I was whinging. I was whinging about how the different music companies or the ones that represent the artist hit us every month for artist fees.
Licensing fees.
Yeah. And now they've just got a fourth one that's rolled into it. And he's got a lot of them, of the big guys. And so you ask the other ones, as I just asked George Runner at the Board of Equalization, well, look, if they're taking away a lot of artists, do we still have to pay you the same? Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. Then we're giving you guys a raise over this, right? I mean, we're paying you more for less. And then we're going to pay the other guys. Now, it's the same thing with George Runner. They've taken away 90% of what the Board of Equalization does. Are they going to give them a pay cut? No, they're not. Now, if you had a company in town and you were, you know, whatever it was, and one of your employees was making $25 an hour to do this amount of work, and then he came in and something came in and said, "I'm sorry, but we've, you know, 90% of your work is going to be handled by this machine, so I can't afford to pay you that. So I'm going to reduce your pay. I'm not saying it by 90%, of course not, but I need to reduce your pay by $8 an hour, you know, to pay for this new machine. But I still want to employ you here, and I'll teach you how to do this, and you can blah 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 blah. But no." No, I mean, if somebody in your business that, you know, 90% of their work was taken by something else, you might offer them a chance to get a job someplace else. But these are elected officials, and I understand they'll finish it out. But why isn't the Assembly and the Senate saying, well, you know what, you're doing a lot less work, let's just cut your pay by half? What do you think? Is that wrong?
What, that would be logical, but it wouldn't be the
It's not the California way.
It's not the California way.
Yeah, you know, it's like you have the Actually, Chicago way, but it's not, you know, it's not.
Not the California way, man.
We're having marijuana education shops. Stop it. We're having marijuana education shops, it appears, here in Redding. That's interesting.
How about that state of emergency in Nevada?
Okay.
You hear about that?
The state of emergency in Nevada was that they've run out of marijuana. They've run out of marijuana, and they're declaring a state. The governor is declaring a state of emergency. He says the 67 outlets they have obviously are not enough, that they've run out of marijuana, and they can't bring it in illicitly to other people. They only can bring it into the 67, I think that's 67, sellers or stores. So now they're thinking about, you know what, about upping that by maybe 100. So they have 100 more stores than they could have enough marijuana. How can it be a state of – we have a state of emergency in the state of California because the whole place is on fire. Nevada has a state of emergency because they run out of marijuana. Is how can this be, Bob? How can this be?
I the mind boggles.
Well, I can't believe this.
Law was written that says the liquor companies are the ones who are allowed to transport the product. And of course, we all know how Nevada politics work as far as
You know,
the unions charging. Go. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing is, okay, so I've got a ton of marijuana sitting in my shed over here, right? I can't take that marijuana to Nevada because I'm crossing state lines, interstate, right? And if I do that, now I'm breaking all the federal laws in the world. Plus the fact, what are you doing with a ton of marijuana?
Exactly.
That's a big one. But then if you cross state lines, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Which is why at certain times of year, if you go down to the post office, you can smell marijuana in there as they're mailing that stuff out everywhere.
Yeah. Now here's a question I have, Carl, that comes to mind.
Also, did you hear that they in some of the collectives, not collectives, but where they sell it, you can't come to the store and buy it. They deliver it.
Yeah, we deliver.
And then if you think about that, then you think how you could get into like an Uber. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Uber. Hey, Uber. Pay.
Toker.
Come in here with Toker. Yeah, we get Toker going. And you have Toker and you say, okay, here, Toker, go over there and deliver the 2 ounces of really good marijuana to 1327 Market Street. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, but you think about this, you know, think about how big the industry could be. What about self-driving toke mobiles?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you just plug in your hookah into the side.
No, it drives to you. You have a key.
Yeah.
You walk out and the thing, you know, you're pushing the button and it opens up the, the person controlling it opens up the trunk. And in there are a bunch of little boxes. And you use your key to open it up, take yours out.
Okay.
Unfortunately, somebody's going to take your toke mobile.
So here's something that comes to mind. You know, the government is just rubbing its hands together, thinking about all the tax money they want to make off of the marijuana. Throughout our American history and many other countries' history, where there exists a fee, there exists the desire to circumvent it. What comes to mind is cigarette boats. What comes to mind are moonshiners and how the revenue... the revenuers were chasing these folks around. Who in their right mind believes that there aren't going to be tax dodgers because of the huge taxes being imposed? You know, the argument made by the stoners was that, oh, well, just make it legal and the government will make all this money off of the taxing. But there's going to be people immediately stepping in to distribute the product without the taxes. And it just boggles my mind that, you know, it was definitely a... And these government officials were not apparently, or either they weren't thinking it out, or it's all a matter of wink, wink, nod, nod, if you know what I mean.
Well, every time that there's, well, yes.
We'll have marijuana boats instead of cigarette boats.
Well, and it will be. And the thing is the there will always be a black market there. But how much? They're estimating a $5 billion industry in California. However, Trump could end that tomorrow. And get back at everybody in California, not everybody, and just say, hey, marijuana is illegal, and we're going to start in California. We're going to shut down all the marijuana places. There's your $5 billion, buddies. You want to make a deal with the Chinese? Make a deal with the Chinese. See if you can grow over in China and bring it back in. So, and because it is still a federally, it's a federally, it's a federal regulated Schedule II drug. Anyway, okay. Hey, Larry Lees, the CEO of Shasta County, and David Kehoe, the head of the Board of Supervisors, are going to be here in about 10 minutes, so we can talk to them about what's going on there.
I'm
going to
go get some asbestos gloves, or Nomex gloves. Asbestos is too dangerous. Nomex gloves with which to handle the telephone receiver.
Well, in the chat room. So here's a chance to ask questions. And you know what? Everybody's going after the board of not the board, but the city council recall and all this for a variety of reasons. You know, we don't sign recall petitions. We don't sign anything. We don't go to political events, you know, where people are raising money. We don't go to meet and greets or any of that because it appears then, unless you go to every one of them, that you're showing favoritism, and there's no way to hit every one of them.
As
so we just don't go.
As a community forum, we're allowed to have opinions.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to allowing others to express opinions, we have to remain carefully neutral. Even if we're sitting here scratching our heads at some of those opinions going, where are you coming from? Anyway.
Yeah, well, we do that sometimes. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Oh, no, gosh, what time? Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, we'll be right back after the news.
And it's KCNR, Shasta Redding Community Talk Radio for the North State, as apparently the computer has decided it doesn't want to pay the licensing fee because it's, there it goes. Coming up on 8 o'clock, KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump's nominee to head up the FBI is pledging to remain free from political interference.
I pledge to be the leader that the FBI deserves and to lead an independent bureau that will make every American proud.
Should he be confirmed, Christopher Wray would replace the fired FBI director, James Comey. The slow pace of confirmations in the Senate is a bone of contention now among Republican and Democrat lawmakers.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats are slow walking or outright obstructing confirmation of presidential nominees.
We're getting zero cooperation on the personnel part of the Senate's portfolio, which is confirming nominations.
If Republicans want to blame someone on nominations, they should look into the mirror.
Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer.
This administration has sent fewer nominees to the Senate at this point than any recent president.
Schumer blames dysfunction in the White House, saying it has spread to the Senate. McConnell blames Democrats. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Congressman Adam Schiff says Donald Trump Jr. is not giving much of a defense for his meeting with a Russian lawyer.
The defense is going to be, yes, we had an intent to collude with Russia. We wanted to get the dirt the Russian government had in an effort to help elect Donald Trump, but we were deeply disappointed in not getting it at that meeting.
Schiff made his comments on CBS this morning, as did President Trump's personal lawyer, Jay Sekulow, who says that Donald Trump Jr. did not violate any law by receiving something of value from a foreigner connected to an election.
The meeting that took place, there was nothing illegal about it. There was not a violation of the law, no illegality. And the statute you're quoting from, the FEC statutes are not criminal statutes, but that is not a violation, the meeting that took place.
President Trump is again calling the investigation the greatest witch hunt in political history. More of these stories from townhall.com.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use. Designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Weeds love your garden. They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can, with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot Wand from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy, so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot Wand, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports a district court judge in Michigan has scheduled more arguments today in the case of 1,400 Iraqi nationals who are facing deportation but fear religious persecution should they return to Iraq.
Judge Mark Goldsmith issued a 24-page opinion asserting his jurisdiction in the case over the objections of the Justice Department. Many of the Iraqis are Christians and fear persecution because of their religion if returned to Iraq. The U.S. government says they face deportation because they committed crimes in the United States.
That's correspondent Jackie Quinn. Janet Yellen says the Fed expects to keep raising interest rates for the foreseeable future. She also said today that the central bank plans to start trimming its bond holdings this year, both signaling encouraging signs about the economy. In her semiannual report to Congress, Yellen says strong job gains and rising household wealth should fuel economic growth in coming months. More on these stories from townhall.com. An electric car is being pushed to the side, at least for now.
An electric car maker deserted its plan to construct a $1 billion manufacturing plant in southern Nevada in a move experts say could spell trouble for the company and the broader niche electric automobile industry. Faraday Future's chief financial officer Stefan Kraus said the decision to scrap the plant was due to a shift in business strategy. The Gardena, California-based company said in a statement it'll look for an existing facility to produce its electric vehicles in California or Nevada.
That is correspondent Keith Peters reporting. At small businesses this summer, many owners won't be trying to figure out whether employees will be counting it as vacation time, personal days, or sick leave when they say they're not coming in. A growing number of companies have taken to a new habit of combining vacation and sick time into one big bucket called paid time off or PTO. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. Linda's on sabbatical this morning. It's 5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Phone lines here at 530-605-4567. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bob, weather.
High today around 103 degrees under sunny skies and mostly clear tonight with the low right at the 70-degree mark. Temperature will drop off a little bit tomorrow, merely 101 degrees, and it starts moving up again. By the weekend, we could be into the right around the 107-degree mark, depending on who you ask. Right now in Reading, we are at 75 degrees. Shasta Lake, 15 feet from the top. And this report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Based in Anderson, Chuck and Judy Kenny began this company years ago and have won awards for hiring veterans, which was just outstanding. Plus the fact that it's a veteran-owned company and they just give super service. Give them a call, 365-3793, and discounts for seniors and veterans. Hey, I want to kick out that on this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the All Saints Episcopal Church, there will be a nostalgic evening of music, dancing, and ice cream sundaes. Featuring the live big band era music of Lou White and his band and guest artist Linda Bott, who'll be singing a number of songs there. Magical evening of swing and jazz. So it's for all, you get that, you get the ice cream social, you have all that. And for more information, call All Saints Episcopal Church or check out the website memorialhall.eventbrite.com. Or just call the All Saints Episcopal Church, and I'm sure they'll be glad to tell you what's going on. Okay, you know what? Do we have like a drum roll here? What's up, Bob?
Oh, when you get a chance, you'll want to look at the
I looked at that. I saw it
less
already.
Less than ideal commentary about the idea session.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we were talking about the meeting last night, environmental design here in the city of Reading, and for people for businesses, how you can kind of
the cure for ED.
Oh yeah, environmental design. Right. They were talking to businesses about how you can get more lights, how it could be cheaper in the lighting, and how you can how you can keep your place safer. So for your clients, because if your customers don't feel safe walking from the parking lot to you, then they're not going to come
sure.
to you. They're going to do something else. And this is – I can't help but think that the – what's going on in our cities
in our country and in many places with localized crime and all these that hasn't boosted online sales, which is a bugaboo. Okay, and I'm here with David Kehoe, who is the head of – well, you are the chairman of the board this time for this sessions, right?
Correct. Top of the morning to you,
Top of the morning to you, David. And Larry Lees, the county executive officer.
Good morning.
I don't know if that – you know what? That is purely – I just pulled that one out of my rectal defilade there. But it's just – you know, I just wonder about the things that are happening. Just people go, you know what? I can go to Amazon and get it instead of walking down the street. I don't know if that's a reason because of crime and things. I'm not hearing anything both you do. You know, this is radio, guys. You can't just nod your head and smile at me, all right? You've been here before, right?
No, I mean, you're the host. Give us a chance to say something.
I just threw it out. I just threw it out, and then I nod my head. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, when my head.
Okay, that's the cue, right?
That's the cue.
We start talking. Okay. You know, the interesting thing, Carl, and that well may be the case, but when people buy online like that, do we lose that sales tax?
And the answer to that is it depends. It where it's being where it's originated from.
If it's in California, we're supposed to get it. Right.
That, exactly. And it's interesting because there's a lot of federal laws now that are being passed by a multitude of states that will start collecting it. Some will, some won't. And it's going to, to your point, Carl, it's going to be interesting to see if that drives behavior with the companies that are selling. Will they move? Is it that big a deal? But as far as personal preference, I mean, absolutely, certainly online sales are going up. Is it because of the fear of not wanting to go in the store? I think it's more of an ease and selection.
Yeah. Just some instructions from the producer, if you're doing that. Because
what does that say? Try not to insult the host?
No, that's never stopped.
No, don't lean on the table
because it changes the
– It creaks.
The creaks, and it changes the ways the microphones are. Okay. David.
Yes, sir.
There's a number of things that – I know you can't talk about specifically which one, but you were talking about things that you all are working on that had to do with Measure D and other things.
I did indeed.
Okay.
As we all know, and I'm sure your audience knows, that Measure D was crushed at the ballot box.
I think crushed is the right word.
Yeah, I think so, too. And there were a lot of well-intentioned, bright, well-meaning people that worked on Measure D. And they provided for the community an option on how we could solve, in part of our safety difficulties. Regrettably, the voters didn't see it that way. I think it's important to focus on the fact, Carl, that that was just one option. And it's incumbent upon us, private sector, the public sector, to provide other options for consideration to the public. And we're in the process of doing that right now.
Okay. It's been – when did 109 happen? 5 years ago?
About 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, 6 years ago. Yeah. So in the 6 years that we've had this, 109 and then what? Then
47.
47.
About 40 sessions.
Then 57.
And then 57. So we've been hit. But the first one started 6 years ago that we started having problems with the fact that we didn't have enough room in the jail. Would you agree that the crux of the problem of a lot of the crime here in our area is we have no place to put the bad guys?
I think that that may be an aspect of it, but I think the part of the problem is that we have insufficient funds to deal with these people, and there are a couple of mechanisms available to us. One is to send prisoners to adjacent communities, which, as you well know, we're doing that. And by doing that, if we can increase the number of prisoners that we export, then that'll provide additional areas at the jail. Go ahead, Larry. The second possibility is, what would happen, Carl, if we increase the number of electronic devices that are now being used? For example, 100 for the sheriff, 100 for probation. What happens if we're at maximum capacity right now with those ankle braces? What happens if we can find additional funding to increase that and to increase the monitoring system?
Well, that's a good question. So this question goes out to either one of you.
Okay.
How well does that work? How do we? I mean, it's becoming kind of like an accessory, a jewelry accessory. You see them all over town. So, but are they working?
I would, if I could jump in, I would say they are absolutely working. However, it goes back to what you said originally about having that opportunity to hold them accountable. And if there's no place to put them, if they do not, then
so if they just rip it off, so it doesn't do any good to get another 100
but,
if they don't pay attention.
But I think it's important to understand, since you brought up 109, exactly that.
Let me break here.
Okay.
And then we'll have more time to explain how the 109 is, because I know that. Just from what I've heard, is that we're losing money because we're doing our job out here. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that when we get back. I'm here with David Kehoe, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors for Shasta County, and Larry Lees, the Chief Executive Officer. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 14 minutes after the hour of 8, 74 degrees, going up to 103 today.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Carl, I'm looking for a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Awesome. What are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
Thanks. I'll go try it today.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Hundebot. Good morning, everybody. Wednesday, 12th of July. 74 degrees, going up to 103 today. Weather Report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Best in the North State, voted that way, and they are the best in the North State. Veteran-owned business that trained in, they are trained in every type of heating and air conditioning system. They can fix it. You've got an emergency, you call 221-2642 and, or check their website at homecomfort.org. It's even more than that. Just for having it checked, making sure it's working because, as you know, the cost of electricity is rising everywhere. And is your air conditioner working correctly? It could be off, and it could be sucking dollars out of your pocket into the coffers of PG&E. Think about that. Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642, veteran-owned business. I'm here with David Kehoe of the Board of Supervisors and Larry Lees, the Chief Executive Officer, said he wanted to change jobs with me. I said, give me 6 months. Give me 6 months. And then I said, be careful what you ask for here, Larry. Okay, you're going to explain about 109.
Well, I just think it's important we understand the history because that did not create all the problems that we see today. You know, when 109 came out, the idea behind that was counties could rehabilitate better than states, and I happen to believe and agree with that theory. The state has not been successful. The recidivism rate is 75-80%,
yep,
and it's always been that way. So I agree with that philosophy and that theory that the counties can do a better job. What didn't happen with 109, the money that they were spending on the existing folks that were locked up did not get passed down to the county, only about 50% of that. So had the state sent the money down, we would have had an opportunity to do a lot more than we are doing, although we've had some big successes. But I wanted to then take us to Prop 47 and 57. Whereas the bed space is not the only thing that is – the lack of bed space is not the only thing that's creating problems for us right now. With these new laws that have reduced felonies to misdemeanors and the ability to charge and then – for some folks to actually appeal the term of their sentence, that has created opportunities for people to not even be incarcerated, whereas 2, 3, 4 years ago, if you had the space, they'd be incarcerated. Okay. So a lot of these folks running around by law, we can't lock up anyway.
Okay, what about this guy the other day that I talked about on the show, incredible. He steals a car one day, uses the car to break into a house on Riverside the next day, steals guns. He stole a gun, stole other stuff, drives away. Can this guy be put in jail?
I know you're not going to get into that, but can this kind of guy?
I mean, this guy is a pro. I mean, he steals a car, so you know you can't get his car. He drops that car off someplace, and he's gone. I mean, these kind of things I understand, but there are still enough bad guys out there.
Agree.
And if you were wearing your
monitoring bracelet,
electronic device, right, there, and I thought that if they break that device or, you know, don't live up to their, you know, to what they're supposed to be doing with this, that they can be put in jail if there was room.
Yeah, and again, that would be depend. That's a question for the district attorney and probation.
Okay, so how well, and let me go back to that question again then, is how well is that system working? Is it working 80% of the time, 70% of the time?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers of that. Okay. I mean, I would say that for those that are being monitored, it's a successful operation. Now, let's say 80% of the time it's you know, we've got some that are misbehaving and that cutting it off or running or out of their territory. But 80% when you compare it to 75% that was recidivism from prison, that's a pretty good number.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If it works 80% of the time. Yeah.
Carl, let me point out, I think, a conspicuous glaring incongruity. The residents of Shasta County voted against 47, against 57,
yeah,
yet the residents of California put it into law. Folks in our community are mad as hell because they see all these people breaking the law, wandering around without any consequence.
Maybe it's time for the state of Jefferson.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
Maybe they should come in and maybe talk to you guys.
That's a thought.
Okay. Well, let's go into a couple other things. The county owns courtrooms 1 and 2. Is that correct?
No, not at this particular time. So we could talk about that. What's going to happen, and actually I'm excited about that, and I'm speaking on this subject at our board meeting this Tuesday on the 18th. So
you get it first here.
Yeah, you will. You'll get it first here, even the board members. So what is happening? We'll get it now. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. I'll go into more detail on Tuesday. But what is happening, of course, with the existing courtrooms 1 and 2, which is adjacent to the jail, and then we have the big courthouse also. What is happening, of course, at some point a new courthouse will be built, and that then the equity of the existing courthouse, Justice Center 1 and 2, the courtrooms 1 and 2, that all reverts back to the county, and we actually had to pay for it, but it all comes back to the county. And, yes, there is a plan in place, and we've done a preliminary study to convert courtrooms 1 and 2 to jail bed space.
Okay.
It becomes very economical, not free, but it becomes,
no, it becomes economical.
Because of the operating cost.
Right. Well, what about – okay, so those who owns them right now then, the state?
So it's the state owned.
Okay,
state,
so that's there. So you can't just say, hey, look, I've got two more trailers here. I want to move the courthouse.
Right.
I want to move those courtrooms into these trailers.
Correct. The
state, can't do that.
The state don't – correct. We cannot do that.
And, well, let's talk about the courthouse. What have we heard on that?
Okay,
are we getting any closer to that?
Yeah, we are. I can tell you what I know. In fact, if you were to drive down Court Street today, you would see now the entire block is fenced off. They're going forward with the demolition of all the buildings down that property and the relocation of the utilities. It will probably go over the next 3 or 4 months to take that. But the fence just came up Tuesday.
Okay, correct. The fence just came. I did notice that. I did notice the fence, and I go down every day
for the post office. Right.
And I see all the all of our transients with their little faces up against the fence looking in, especially where the building is. They're just kind of looking in, like woe-begone children at the candy store. So all those buildings are gone then?
No, they will be gone.
But that's what I mean. Yeah, when I say gone, so in the next 3 months they're going to demolish all that. So then what happens?
So then it is all ready to go to have the new courthouse built. Now, will that start right away? No. They are still high on the list to receive the funding to go forward with it, but there has not been a date started. And, of course, that's the state and the courts.
But at least they're moving forward.
That's the exciting part.
We can get rid of some of those houses that have caused problems.
And they have caused problems.
They have caused problems, yes.
All
right, okay, so that's two good bits of news. One, they're going to demolish all those buildings that are there. They're going to start on clearing everything.
Correct.
They also are the courtrooms 1 and 2. Once this courthouse is built, we can use those for dorms.
Correct.
That's several years down the road.
Correct.
I mean, even if they start building this summer, it's going to be a couple of years.
Absolutely. Well, and they're not going to start building this summer.
No, I mean, I know. I said it was going to be a couple of years if people are looking for something right now.
Right. It's a ways off. So it's not good enough for us to be complacent and say, okay, we're going to wait.
No, we can't do that.
Right.
So, okay, I like the idea of, okay, if 80% of these bracelets work, getting more bracelets, okay, that's fine. What other plans are we looking at? You know, I've heard all types of things about doing away with the kitchen or moving the kitchen someplace or the laundry or something like that.
Yeah, we have not been just sitting back saying, oh, woe is me. You know, big development didn't go through, so we don't have the money. We're not going to do anything. The board has always consistently put pressure on my office to come up with opportunities to continue to move forward and not wait for these things down the road, that there's things that we need to be doing now, hence the report that I'll be making on Tuesday, July 18th. But some of those things that we'll be talking about in there is certainly the Justice Center 1 and 2. We'll be talking about the programs that we have been investing in that have been very, very successful. Just to give you an example, so I could say, feel good, it's really doing well, but let me give you specific data. Monday morning, I was at the graduation of the Behavior Health Court, and that's something that's done by Honorable Greg Gall, who is the judge in the Superior Court. We had a graduation. This is probably the fourth graduation we had. It's not big numbers. You know, we have two or three graduating out of this program over the last couple of years. 0% recidivism. We continue to track these. These are people. So let's say it's 10, 12 people that we've graduated out of this. It doesn't seem like a huge number. But when you're equating that to cost, you're talking about $500,000 a year in cost of now clearing out. And if you didn't care about people and just cared about cost, that would be worth it. But, of course, you're also changing people's lives. Yesterday there was a mother in there with two of her kids. Her kids came back to be reunited with her. She's back working. Her husband's back with them. And it's just really fun to see. And these are programs that are working, like the Day Reporting Center. Now, our Day Reporting Center, we've graduated over 100 individuals over the last 3 years from that. Of that, we do have people that continue to make poor choices. We have some that have recidivated, we'll say. Mm-hmm. But when you our recidivism rate right now is around 20%. That means that out of that group. Right. So we're monitoring it. But when you compare that to the state where they've had, it would have been 75%. We're having success. And we are doing things. We're not just
Do you all have anything to do with the tax on transients, you know, the TOT, tax on whatever that's called?
Transient occupancy tax.
Oh, tax on transients.
Yeah,
okay.
Nice try, Carl.
We could
nice
make a lot of money on that one. Okay, do y'all have anything to do with TOT?
Go ahead.
What do you have?
Well, we do. We collect TOT.
Okay.
But when you look at it in juxtaposition to what the cities gets, it's a real minor amount.
Well, what do you think about raising the percentage of the TOT to gain more money for public safety?
It's a great idea, Carl, but it takes a vote of the people to do it.
I don't think so.
Yes, it does.
Are you sure? I think that's just a city council. That's just city council, Dave.
Right. It doesn't fall into Prop 218.
It's not. They can raise that. They can raise that tax
arbitrarily.
Three or 4%, and we've got a low TOT now. Not low, but it's still. I'm just saying this idea has come up and it's been presented to the city. And I'm not trying to put anybody in a corner but this is just the way. It doesn't come out of my pocket. It doesn't come out of your pocket. And it could have another one of those little propositions that says all that money goes for public safety.
Right. So let me explain. Yeah. And I know where Supervisor Kehoe is going because of we've had this discussion before. Within the county, the opportunity for transient occupancy tax, and I think this might be where your confusion came in, is that everybody has talked to us, say, you know, how much are we getting on houseboats for transient occupancy tax? We get zero. You cannot do that without legislation and a vote. And I think that's what David was referring to as we talked
houseboats.
About. Yeah. And actually, we had an opportunity to do that about 10 years ago, and it has to be legislation. And the legislators said, no, we're not doing it. There's such a large lobby against houseboat transient occupancy tax. Okay. Now, that being said, if you look in the unincorporated parts of the county, you see that we don't really have the big hotels. We don't have we've got some. And we get somewhere, and I'm going to tell you the amount. We get somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000 a year for that transient occupancy tax. So the city probably gets a couple million a year in their transient occupancy tax. So can that be raised? Yeah. Now, what happens when you start talking about that, all the hotel, motel, and I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying it is.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I think also if the hoteliers knew that this 3 or 4%, this 3% raise, I'm just saying 3%, was going to go to crime prevention and being out there and making their lives easy, putting more people in jail, I can't help but think they would – you know what? Because when you give a cost of a hotel, it says – $119 a night, plus applicable fees and taxes. we don't have like a $30 cost just to be here in Redding. We've got the fees, and then TOT of $5. All right, that kind of thing. We've got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full service jewelry store in Redding with the only watch repairman in the whole area, right here at Four Winds Jewelry. Honest. They're going to come in. They'll give you a really, really fair appraisal on your jewelry. If you need that, they sell on consignment, but they can design and build and any type of jewelry that you want. Four Winds Jewelry, really, the only full-service store in town. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with Dave Kehoe and Larry Lees.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies.
Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Save the date, August 2nd. Discover Health. Join us in the celebration of wellness and preventative health care. The annual Redding Rancheria Health Care event is on August 2nd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Everyone is invited to this free event. All ages welcome with special activities for the kids. Vendors will be located in Wind River Resort and Casino's Event Center and the Redding Rancheria Community Center. Come and enjoy this exciting day filled with free health screenings, information on living a healthier lifestyle, crafting vendors, and much more, including blood pressure, body fat analysis, body mass index, cholesterol, diabetes pre-screen, and more. For details on this free event, log on to WindRiver.com. Contact Olivia Brady at 530-226-1734 or Jasmine Romero at 530-339-7462. Head down to Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino on Wednesday, August 2nd, and check out yet another great health fair this year. Brought to you by Redding Rancheria Tribal Health Center, Redding Rancheria, and Wind River Resort and Casino. Celebrating wellness and preventative health care is better at the river.
The Cascade Theater and First Five Shasta presents a fun and free film series this summer to keep the kids cool and occupied every Sunday in the month of July. See family-friendly flicks like Minions, James and the Giant Peach, The Incredibles, Homeward Bound, and Up every Sunday at 2 in July. And each event includes games and prizes. And did I mention it's free? More information at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for this month's second Tuesday dining restaurant.
Wow, so I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, August 8th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously donated a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane reach their goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. In the studios of KCNR 1460 on Market Street in downtown River City, we're at ground zero, you might say, of the renaissance that's happening in this town.
I like
right
it.
Here.
I like it.
The renaissance that's happening in this town and down to K2 and all the things that are happening. Yeah. I like to see trees. We have trees across the street. I like to see trees on every corner here. I mean, I think,
like
doesn't
that
make a difference?
You know, Redding was actually voted Tree City of the Nation a few years back, so...
You're kidding.
No.
Tree City, USA.
You mean something favorable that came out?
Yes,
I mean, okay.
Yes.
Hey, this portion of the show, speaking of favorable, is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold, a better-known business that just probably has the best haircuts in the world at Cypress Square Barbershop. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Okay. 25 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock, 79 degrees, going up to 103 today. Our guests are David Kehoe, who is chairman of the Board of Supervisors for this quarter or year.
Year.
And Larry Lee is the CEO. Now, we were talking about, you know, ideas and things, and something was pointed out during the break. Two different, maybe even three, but two for sure opportunities to come into, to bring money into the county. One was the Hawkins, shopping center or mall down
right.
there in Churn Creek Bottom.
Right.
The second one was the 3M company with their gravel quarry. Both of them were brought in together well over $3 million in
initial investment.
Initial investment, but then taxes after that and all this, plus jobs. Okay. Both of them failed because the citizens. Well, in the first case, it was a vote by
right,
the citizens.
That's correct.
And that was another crushing one. That wasn't a close one either.
No.
And the second one was is people, some people, not a lot, but some people complained about the 3M thing. And then they just said, you know what, we're not going to get into this one because we've seen what's happened here before. Okay. So I would tell you right now that Hawkins, having been involved in that from the beginning, watching what they were doing, they handled that whole publicity campaign wrong. They waited till the last minute. They should have been fighting it just like Churn Creek was. But that's past. So What advantage? I mean, do we see businesses coming into Shasta County? Because the only way we're going to get more money right now looks like if we build the tax structure.
I agree. I mean, that would be the perfect opportunity is to do that. Now, do you believe the sentiment would change if a Carl Bott company came back and wanted to develop in developable spaces, as like down on Knighton Road? Do you think the sentiment would change and the vote would be different?
Here's what I think. I think if it was handled correctly, do you want a sobering center? Do you want to put people in jail? Do you want this money to be, you know, you want to increase in our taxes, and these are the things that can happen. And this is what the Board of Supervisors says. We are going to use this money to do this and this and this. I think you've got a pretty good chance now because people are tired. And they weren't tired yet with Hawkins.
And that goes back to your you've got a good point. That goes back to your TOT also. And could we identify specific TOT dollars if there was an increase to go to public safety? And I would say, you know, that would be very easy to do, and absolutely that is something that could be done.
Carl. One of the people here just said 3.12 million if raised to 16%, the TOT, on the cities and county. And he's basing his info from these entities. And I don't think it takes a special election for that. Anyway, okay.
Here's the towering incongruity, and we haven't talked about it. People legitimately want more services, especially public safety services. But they are unwilling thus far to provide us the mechanism of generating those additional dollars, little property tax revenue, sales tax revenue, to provide folks with those services. I think, let me complete this, and I'd like to invite Larry to explain what the budget is in Shasta County and what the discretionary funds are.
Well, yeah, we've had that discussion, but as you know, the majority of funds that come through our budget is passed through from the state, so we have no discretion as to how they are spent.
I understand that, and I don't know if a lot of people understand that. How much? What percentage would you say that is?
80%.
80%.
Yeah.
Okay, now, have we thought about privatization? Are there anything you can privatize in the county?
There are things that you can. Is it a better deal or not? Does it meet with resistance? Yes, but yeah, certainly. I mean, there have been jails that have been privatized. It's not something that many support, but there are opportunities for privatization. Obviously, labor has to be involved in those type of discussions.
Do we have, like, county trash pickups and all that kind of stuff? I mean, I know the city
does. Contract out for that.
Yeah.
Oh, you do contract out for that.
And you think about fire. You know, we contract out for fire. Our Cal Fire.
All right.
So we do make those privatizations.
Okay.
Well, Larry, let me just interrupt.
Okay, sure.
So we say 80% go to categorical programs. Of the 20% that's remaining, where does that go?
So, the majority of the all remaining fund goes to public safety. I mean, that's the discretionary dollars that go. We have, by law, have to spend so much what we call a maintenance of effort on public safety, and we exceed that by probably 200%, probably 300%, actually, because we know that's the direction, that's what the Board of Supervisors have always impressed upon me, is to make sure public safety gets all those discretionary dollars that we have.
And we're still short, and because we just got hit with the – what was that thing we got hit with, something about home care?
IHSS, the In-Home Supportive Services, a $623 million hit to counties throughout the state. Now, I have been asked to be on the state committee, the state team, to figure out how we're going to resolve that. The governor, in their budget, they did make some allowances for this year, and they're spreading the cost out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
To us, it would have been about a $3-4 million additional hit.
Let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, you have a question for Mr. Lees or Mr. Kehoe?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call, Carl.
You bet.
I have a comment and then a couple of questions. I want to make the point again that about 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, the county and the Board of Supervisors' short view of the future and turned down $34, $36 million for the other Twin Tower, part of the jail complex, which would have made use of the existing cafeteria and and laundry and everything else, and it would have been a Twin Tower project. And they turned it down because they felt they couldn't maintain the operating costs. And here again, what it's costing us now in loss of business and everything else and chaos, is just unbelievable. And if we had made that move, the jail would have been built. We would have doubled our bed space, saving hundreds of thousands of dollars. And again, our concern of no place to put these crooks would have been diminished. My other comment is has there been a reapplying for the funds for that jail? Has the county made an effort to renegotiate with the state to get that money? I know just recently that Modoc County got $24 million. Another county over there, Lassen, I don't know, a couple of those counties just got a bunch of money from the state. And I'm just wondering, are we still in the loop? And my second comment is, or question is why hasn't, oh God, I'm losing my train of thought here, I'm sorry. But
You've given us a couple good questions there, Billy Baum.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy.
Let me start
with the first one, the money, okay, the $30 million,
okay,
that was.
So it wasn't going to be for a Twin Towers. Obviously, it was about $20 million, and it was going to be for another
a separate jail.
Yeah, and it was going to be a rehabilitation jail, to be built over off of Breslauer. Now, the problem with that is, and what a lot of people don't understand, and this is why we made the decision. It started at being about $2 million to operate annually. By the time we're getting ready to build it, it would have jumped up to about $4 million, a little over $4 million to operate it, and so that cost kept going up. We did not have the money. We did not have the annual operating cost. So, you know, you could say, well, let's just build it anyway. Keep in mind, this was a special program with strings attached. So that means that the state owns that building for 30 years, and even if we were to have the money to operate it, the state owns that building for 30 years and the land. That means that if we don't comply and we don't operate it day one, we have about 60 days after the completion of the building, then they could come in and take it or use it. What my fear was, we had no funds to operate it. My fear was that the state would come in and we would become a Pelican Bay East or a Susanville West. And I did not want to have the state turning something that we had, one of our facilities, into some kind of state penitentiary. Now, could they have done that? Absolutely. Would they have? Hope not. Hope they would not have.
It was still would have been a still, because if you built it to be a minimum, it was minimum security, right? Or medium?
Medium.
Well, if you still build it a medium, it's not high security.
But they still could be, they could still be moving people from out of the county into our area. And that's a big risk. Now, we had the same risk with the Juvenile Rehabilitation Center that we did build and we did complete and is being very successful. However, we had identified operating costs. And you've heard me say this, Carl, and certainly the supervisors, I do not recommend we spend money we don't have. We cannot borrow money for our future.
No, I'm of the Dave Ramsey, you know, group. Hey, Kay, what you got?
As far as Churn Creek Bottom goes, we need to save our fine soil, our fertile soil areas, for food. Someday, if things keep going the way they are, we're going to need it. And we're going to be sorrowful, as they are in Santa Clara County, about turning their county, their fertile soil into Silicon Valley. And my other question. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, you're there.
I also think that maybe we should start seriously, this sounds crazy, but seriously looking at Stillwater for our prison situation. It's not being utilized. And when somebody looks at it, they find something wrong with the person. The company isn't right because of this or that or the other. And I think we ought to forget it, and we ought to just use that for our
transient camp.
Yeah, I think or a jail or whatever. But I think we're wasting money with that. It's a
okay.
And so I wish you would consider that, too.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Now, that's clearly not in the county purview. That's a city purview. But there's so many things people are so upset about, Stillwater and all that. Hey, we need to take a break. We'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur. It is a husband-wife store that has been a great success. This is where Linda and I buy our guns. And any of the accessories we want for shooting are right down there. Because, you know, one, you get honest, great customer service, and they've got everything you need in one-stop shopping, including CCW classes by Seth Stokes that are just outstanding. So everything, it's local. Let them try. You know what? If you find something at the big box store, which you shouldn't, you should go into Bastiani's first. But then if you do find something, go over there and let them meet or beat that price. They can do it, and you're shopping local. That's right. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, open Tuesday through Saturday. We'll be right back with Dave Kehoe and Larry Lees.
Discover the new Kia at Redding Kia for the highest-ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality.
That's Kia Cadenza, Forte, Niro, Sorento, and Soul.
Kia has received more J.D. Power initial quality awards than any other brand. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Redding Kia, featuring complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every vehicle sold and the best warranty in the USA.
Head into Redding Kia today and get ready to save a lot of money on Redding Kia's award-winning lineup. There's no better time than right now to take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy.
Take a look around the next time you pull into a parking lot or community event like the Redding Kia-sponsored Mosquito Serenade. You'll see Kias everywhere. It's Redding Kia's commitment to customer service and our community that's the Redding Kia difference.
Redding Kia. See the brand new dealership at 418 East Cypress Avenue. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the new YouTube channel.
RedingKia.com.
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, "I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance." "Tolerance is accumulative," I said. "This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood." He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, "They are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better." I replied, "If we can make it better, it was not perfect." Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, our last segment here. Good morning, everybody. Hey, tomorrow, Trish Clark is going to be with me. We got a couple of surprises we're pulling out of our hats there. 9 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. Bob, just a quickie on weather for the weekend here.
Pretty much right around the century mark, rising slowly as we get into the weekend.
Okay. Weather and reports.
Great day on the lake.
Yep. And the lake's only 15 feet down, which is great. Weather report's always brought to you by our friends out at Shasta Gas. Propane, 365-3793, discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business. And where we're here with Larry Lees and David Kehoe. We had a phone call, and David, I didn't realize that you were voting to make Shasta County a sanctuary county.
Regrettably, I think your listener was misinformed. That never happened. Nobody here in Shasta County wants us to be a sanctuary county or a sanctuary.
Where did that come from? It's because they were talking about the sanctuary state, and because there wasn't a letter written or something like that.
Was that I don't know why that would be. Yeah.
But that's not something that you are looking for. You wouldn't support that, would you?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
I just keep doing that so you can come in closer.
Yeah, all right.
No, I'm not looking for your talk. I just want you to get closer to the microphone.
Very good.
Yeah,
okay.
And there has been no Board of Supervisor come to me as CEO to indicate a desire to go forward with a sanctuary county.
How about a sanctuary county for the Second Amendment?
Well, like I say, I will repeat, there's been no Board of Supervisors come to me for any sanctuary county.
What about moving one of your meetings a month to the evening so people that have jobs can get there?
I mean, certainly that is something that
once a month.
Yeah, that comes up once in a while.
Every time somebody is on the show.
that does come up, but would that really change the attendance? It may not. Obviously there's a lot of other costs that would be involved with that would you'd need to take into consideration, and I'm just doing everything I can to fight save every penny and nickel I can.
I was glad to hear about the privatization we've got, and things like this. Okay, so the big reason coming in was talking about crime, and so what I've heard is that, with the exception of the 100 more, in which we don't have yet, but we might.
That's correct.
And I just think with two police forces that we should try to consolidate as much as possible, which I think parts of that have been done. And then you've got some things you're going to talk about too. So you see, I'd love to be able to come to that meeting. But is it going to be at the beginning of the meeting or like midway through?
Probably midway through.
Okay. So if I trot on down there from here, I can hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back, to be more specific on the courthouse, we've actually got some designs in place, and it's 128 beds that we have the potential.
Okay, so we'll have 120. Well, that would, according to people I've talked to, is that you take 128 of these bad guys off the street, our crime will drop like 50%.
But keep in mind, you're still going to see some wandering around there because with the Prop 4757, we can't lock a lot of these people that we would have been putting into behind bars 10 years ago.
So you will take in the idea of the TOT raise then?
Yeah, it does not impact the county that much. So I told you before, $600,000 annually, $800,000.
Yeah, but that comes up to another $700,000. So make it $700,000. That's still $100,000 more that can. And how much does it cost us to move people out of this jail into other jails? It's cheaper to put them in other jails.
Correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, couldn't we use? I mean, it seems like then we might want to use that as much money as possible to take them out of this jail and put them someplace else. Because
absolutely.
We save money and we have more room.
Absolutely.
That's being done?
You're breaking the news of my Tuesday presentation.
Well, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I know.
It's just common sense, guys. Come on. I mean, we've been fighting this.
It absolutely is. And so, we do have out-of-county beds right now. We do have.
Well, I know that. I know you do. And I know
so,
that's
Carl, for clarification then, you've surfaced the idea of increasing DOT. You would support that. You would actively support that and passionately support that.
I already have. I said, understand. I understand about hoteliers. But I also understand what our problems are, that we've got a static economy in the city and the county. Even though the county keeps raising my property taxes, it's still static.
Goes to the state.
No, part of it comes back to you.
13 cents.
Oh, look, you know what? Is that 13 cents a month?
No, a year.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do then. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just deliver you a check for 13 cents and the screw the state.
Okay. Wow, this is good news.
Okay. It'll come directly to you all. Okay. Okay. Would I support that unless there was huge arguments to show me why that wouldn't work? It would cost us money short term and long term. But I don't see how that can happen. So, yes, answering your question, Dave, would you support it then?
I'd do the same analysis that you're going to do.
Okay. That's fair. Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Sure.
Are the city and the county ever going to resolve the revenue sharing battle?
Good question.
It's been going on,
and we've
for
got
as
enough
long
time.
For, I've been alive,
and we have enough time for you to answer that one. Are we ever going to do that?
Let's look at the record.
Okay,
the county in the main has always supported equitable tax sharing agreements. I personally have been supportive of that. Your guest tomorrow has not been supportive of that. There was a time when that would have passed.
You mean Trish?
Is that your guest tomorrow?
No, no, yes. She's my co-host.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we can ask her about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually, honestly, I will tell you, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, but is the potential there? Yeah, I think what is going to drive an agreement for revenue sharing could very well be public safety. That will be the opportunity, but it's going to take an opportunity, like a big business that's coming in that needs the services from the city but wants to locate in the county where we could actually agree to.
Okay, let me ask you something. Do you all work, or does somebody in the county of Shasta work to bring businesses to the county?
Yeah, we actually work directly with the EDC. We invest heavily in the EDC,
okay,
and we work directly with them. And if you were to talk to Tony at the EDC about our
First Wednesday of every month.
Okay, ask him about the county's role in the last group that he brought up there. I mean, he was very, very complimentary of us jumping in with both feet and providing everything they needed.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
Right.
Because I think I'm going to hear something that's going to address how we can put more people in jail, which is what we need, even though I know there's a lot of them, and I don't know if no people, you know, they see these guys. Why aren't they in jail? Because these new laws said we can't put them in jail.
Exactly.
Unless they do something else.
Big.
So
something bigger.
I thought if they ripped off the bracelet, you could put them in.
There's two different standards of law. You know, you have the serious and you have the violent. And that's actually a legal definition.
I know that. Bare and reasonable fear.
And serious is enough for you and I to put anybody in jail.
Okay.
But the law doesn't say that.
Oh. I thought if they broke into houses that's different than breaking into businesses.
I'm not going to pretend to know.
Okay.
Mention.
All right. Got it. Guys, I've learned some stuff today, and I hope our listeners have learned things. We learned that Dave's not a socialist wanting to make this into a sanctuary county as of today, the 12th of July.
Correct.
We've learned that anybody that walks down there will notice. I noticed the fence, but it didn't mean anything to me.
Right.
I see a fence there. Okay, big deal. They're just
keeping somebody.
But they're going to start demolishing it here, and so in the next couple of months, they're going to have that all cleared out. We don't know when they're going to start building the new courthouse.
Correct.
There are plans to do a number of things to try and get that we can push people out into other jurisdictions.
Correct.
In the meantime, okay, gents. Well, thanks a lot.
See you on Tuesday.
I will try to get there because I want to hear this thing. All right. Okay. Hey, everybody, have a great day tomorrow. Trish Clark and I will be pulling some rabbits out of our hats. It's 9 o'clock. It's going to be hot today, 103. Take care. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
This hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump's nominee for FBI director being asked about the Russia investigation, among other matters, at his confirmation hearing. Senate correspondent Linda Kenyon joins us live from Capitol Hill.
Rich, Christopher Wray is the nominee to replace former FBI Director James Comey, who was fired by President Donald Trump while in the midst of the Russia election meddling investigation. Senator Patrick Leahy asked Wray what he would do if, like Comey, he was pressured to pledge loyalty to the president.
My loyalty is to the Constitution, to the rule of law, and to the mission of the FBI. And no one asked me for any kind of loyalty oath at any point.